Good morning. There's always a level of uncertainty when you step behind the pulpit. This morning, that level has gone through the roof. Monday morning, I think it was, things were kind of chaotic, and Phyllis was trying to get me to think through some things, and I finally looked at her and said, I can't think. My brain's too full. I cannot think. Just give me one thing at a time. Don't ask me to do more than that right now, and I'm not sure I can even do one. By Monday night, it cleared. I didn't have that excuse anymore, but I was doing better. And as I prayed about a message this morning, Bob had given me a couple ideas. And one of those was the need or the value of a plural ministry. And so I was working on that, and I really was getting excited about it because I was going back into the World Bible Encyclopedia or the World Church Encyclopedia and then into the Mennonite Encyclopedia and kind of getting a picture of how the church developed leadership from the early church in Acts to today. And there's actually, it didn't just happen. I mean, there's some exciting things that I saw that were really interesting to me. And so I was really getting into that. And then about Thursday, that collapsed. Just boom. It was done. There was no, I couldn't get anywhere. And I just, and at that point, I felt a change of direction. And that change of direction stayed there until about 10 o'clock last night when it collapsed. So we're going to wing it this morning. No, we're not going to wing it. But this morning, I just want to spend some time just talking to you as a church and just kind of helping us to think through the events of this week and just look at some things for next weekend. And the last topic that I was looking at was seeking God's will. And, you know, you would think that's a topic that's fairly easy to do because I've preached it before and I've got notes and I should be able to put something together. And sorry, it didn't work. It just did not work. And as I read that, as I was reading those things and reading the scriptures that were around that, one thing that kept coming to me was, what did the church in Acts do when they came to a major decision? Can anybody tell me what it was? They prayed. So this morning, a lot of this time is going to be spent in prayer. And I know we had prayer meeting Wednesday night, but we can have it again. We can have a time of prayer. We have some needs that we need to pray for, and we have need as a church that we are asking God for direction in. But there's a couple things that I would just like to talk about before that. And so there's not really a topic this morning. There's some scriptures that I want us to read and just kind of preparing our hearts to go to prayer. But there's some questions that I just want to throw out there and maybe give some ideas, some things in my mind that may help you. As we come to seeking God's will and who He would choose to be part of the leadership team. You know, there's questions. How do I know God's will? You know, is and what if I give a name and that name doesn't come out, or that person's not involved in the ordination or licensing, whatever it is? Does that mean I didn't hear from God? And I just, you know, I want to say that the first thing we need to do is spend time in prayer. A lot of time. fast, pray. That's what the early church did when they had these same needs. They spent time in fasting and prayer. What if I'm not clear in my mind who I should nominate, or if I should even nominate somebody? It's okay. If God doesn't give you a clear name, it's okay. It doesn't mean you're not hearing from God. There might be something else going on to why you don't have that, and it's okay. What if the name I give is not in the lot? Does that mean I did not hear from God? No, that does not mean you did not hear from God. Because as I look out in this audience, as I look through our church, I would say there are more than one that would qualify. And there may be more than one name. There may be one name. We don't know that. We can pray that God would give us clear direction. There's nothing wrong with that. He will give us clear direction, whether it is by vote or whether it is by lot. It will be clear. And then we can move from there. And that's why we do this, is to get clear direction from God. But if that person that you nominate is not part of that process now, that does not mean you did not hear from God. That simply means that the timing is different than what you may have thought. So don't ever think you did not hear from God if that happens, because that is something that Satan will do to mess with your brain, and you don't need that. We can mess with our own brain. We don't need him helping. So those are just kind of some things I want you to think about as we pray this week and is seeking God's direction for the future of the church. An encouragement that I would like to give us, we've been getting a little bit sloppy on being here on time for our services. Brian's commented about that a few times when he's trying to get the singing going. Oh, I will say this. The singing this morning, y'all did good. Let's just put it that way. But let's just try to be more aware of being on time. It does make a difference. It makes a difference to you. You can settle in. You got a little time to breathe. You're not hustling in, trying to settle in. And I know there's times when you can't help it. It's just the way it is. But just a word of encouragement. And I want to make a comment. This has nothing to do with anything I've talked about yet. Wednesday night at the thrift store, I heard a couple comments about, man, it's loud in here. And it was children playing. The men weren't actually so loud that night. I don't know why. That's unusual. But anyway, James was playing his music, of course. But it was. It was, and the children were having a blast. I mean, that's just, and as I observed that, I want to tell you something that for me, that those are some of my fondest memories of as a child, of parents getting together to work, clean up somebody's yard, have a frolic, and us children were there, and we were off in the woods doing stuff, and absolutely had nothing to do with that. But those are some of my fondest memories of seeing the church together working and spending time with our friends. And so I just want to really encourage you on that. I know that as parents, when you're there Wednesday night, if I would have had children there, I'd have probably been a little less in tune to seeing that. And I'd have probably been tuned in a little more to the noise. But don't ever leave your children at home because of that. I want to just encourage you to do that. If it's a work night here, wherever it is, those are memories that your children will have that are very important. And I want to encourage you for that. And I want to commend you for bringing your children. Yesterday, Friday, they were probably there more than I was the last 2 days, but it's okay. All right, so enough of that. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. I do want to read one verse in just encouraging you on seeking God's will. Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. The way to find God's will is to allow ourselves to submit totally to His will. And the way to be at peace this week in determining and in just allowing our church to find direction is to be at peace with what God does. But to be, and I think Harley said this last Sunday, I'm not sure I can say it exactly the way he did, but he said when we want to hear God's voice, if we don't spend time with Him, we will not know what His voice sounds like. That's my version of what I think I heard him say. But we need to spend time with God so that we know what His voice sounds like when He does speak to us. Let's turn to Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 12 through 26. And again, most of these scriptures that we're going to look at are instances at where the church in Acts had a need. And most of them are need for leadership, but I'm also bringing it over into other needs this morning. What did they do when they had a need? Starting at verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem, and this is after Jesus ascended into heaven. The disciples came back to Jerusalem. From the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, Andrew, Philip, and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, and along with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in his ministry. With the reward he got for his wickedness, Judas bought a field. There he fell headlong, his body burst open, and all his intestines spilled out. Everyone in Jerusalem heard about this, so they called that field in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. For, said Peter, it is written in the book of Psalms, 'May his place be deserted, let there be no one to dwell in it, and may another take his place of leadership. Therefore, it is necessary to choose one of the men who have been with us the whole time the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from John's baptism to the time when Jesus was taken up from us. For one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection.' So they proposed two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, 'Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go where he belongs.' Then they cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles." And I want to look at verse 24 specifically. They prayed, "Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen to take over this ministry." In Acts 6:6, it says they presented these men, and that is where they ordained the 12 to take over some of the ministry. They presented these men to the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. In chapter 12, verse 12, again, this is where Peter and James, whoever was in prison, and they were released, and they came to the house where the people were meeting. When this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. And then Acts chapter 13. "Now in the church at Antioch there were prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Maimon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.' So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know, this morning I just want to tell you that I'm complicated, but I'm a little bit simple. But I'm simple enough to believe that when we come to God and we ask Him for something, He's going to do it. He may not do it the way I expect, but He's going to do it. And I just simply believe that when I come to God and I say, God, we have a need, He hears me because I'm His child. He loves me, therefore He hears me, and He will answer that prayer. And so this morning as we come, we're going to spend just a few minutes together praying. And specifically praying for Ansley, for Jesse and Mildred, for Brittany, Chelsea, and Dylan. For Rosie, what Jonas told me this morning is that she had trouble breathing during the night. She was feeling better this morning. She had taken some medication. For Renee Chupp, there's some ongoing physical things there that she's dealing with. For the thrift store, for the permits and the finances. And since Friday night, our country has went into worse chaos than we ever expected. We need to pray for our country. And we need to pray for the events of this week, that God will give us as a church direction for His will. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to ask you to kind of spread out. And I really want in your groups, and maybe two couples, three couples, whatever works together there, I want the youth to just mix in where you are. That way I want you mixed in with everybody. But I also want you to include the children in praying this morning. I want to include everybody in this morning. And so someone in that group, take charge, and let's spend some time in prayer. I will come back here and do a closing prayer. But then, Brian, I think I'd like to close with song number 184 in the folder. And then when we sing that after that final prayer, then we will be dismissed after that. So if you just kind of divide out, you can stand, you can sit, doesn't matter. Get comfortable. Maybe some can go back and sit with Alan and Susie and pray with them. And then we'll just go from there, okay? We come to you with one voice. We present these requests to you as a body. We ask for grace for those who are hurting. We ask for healing. And Father, we ask for direction this week. We commit our hearts to you. We commit our lives to you. And we ask for your wisdom as we seek your will each day of this week. Now to him who is able to keep you from falling, and to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.